right, back now to David Icke. David, this is amazing what you're laying out for us. The implications are that there, I guess, is a secret pool of knowledge that has been passed down among those with the right lineage. Am I getting that about right?
Yeah, I mean, people need to ask themselves why the Eastern establishment of the United States interbreeds as obsessively as the royal families and the aristocratic families of Europe have always done. You take for instance, George Bush.
Yes.
George Bush and Barbara Bush are the same bloodline. They go back to the Pierce bloodline, which is actually the Percy bloodline. They changed from Percy to Pierce when they crossed the Atlantic, which is an aristocratic family going way back in England. And so this obsessive interbreeding is not, as we've been led to believe, genetic snobbery. It's because they're trying to hold a genetic structure. And the stunning detail with which they keep these records of these lineages is unbelievable, really. And therefore, there is something which we need to establish, which is very, very important to these people, to do with the genetics and the blood. And it also connects into this thing the Nazis talked about, indeed not just the Nazis, but other people like Lord Bulwer-Lytton in his book, The Coming Race. Again, he was part of the genetic bloodlines too, an English guy, where they talked about the vril power in the blood that created, quote, supermen. And this obsession with the genetics of the body and holding that genetic structure, it's to do with what it gives them and what powers it gives them. And they, of course, this has got dissipated in some of these lines. Of course it has. But there are key lines that they have obsessively held as pure, quote, as they possibly can, from how they started back in the ancient world when they had this extraterrestrial intervention. And amazing when you follow these bloodlines, just very quickly, Art, that when you follow them, you find the people who are running the banking system, who are running the transnational corporations, who end up at the top in politics, who are big people in the media, the people who are at the top in these secret society pyramids. I'll give you just a very quick example of how obsessive it is. Contact of mine, a brilliant contact, who's proved to be accurate, stunningly so, time and time again over the last 2 years. He's got a close friend, who was approached by an American government agency to courier drugs for them. And he was kind of taken aback by this, and he said, well, basically, no, but what the heck are you asking me for? Mm-hmm. And to his astonishment, the reply came, we know what your bloodline is. And this bloodline, I cannot emphasize enough, is so important to these people. And if anyone out there can give me more information on exactly why this obsession is there and what powers it gives them, I'll be delighted to hear from them.
Okay, here's something I want to understand. You said genetic intervention. I've heard this from many, many people, Zachariah Sitchin and forward.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this genetic intervention early on, was this what took the early caveman, the early, at some stage, to the modern intelligent human being that we now know? Is that the change for all of humanity, and were there special changes in certain human beings then?
It's a very interesting question, and I don't think we can be definite on that going that far back. When you look at the Sumerian text, they do remarkably describe what we would call test tube babies, test creation of humans in through test tubes and what have you, which, given that they were found in the middle of the last century and were buried something like 2000 BC, was absolutely astonishing, as many other things in the texts are, particularly about astronomy and the planets and the solar system, which have only been confirmed in relatively very recent times. But in terms of the time scale and the scale of the intervention in terms of its effect on the human race in general, I'm still kind of open-minded about that. What is
But the implications of what you're saying are that there was more than one intervention, or that
that's the point.
Yeah.
That's the point. For me, there's been more than one intervention at different times. I think that if you go back and you look at the estimates that people like Sitchin put on it, that this Anunnaki arrived maybe around 450,000 years ago, I wouldn't dismiss or argue with that. I think that's not a bad time scale when this thing possibly started. But when another thing that I've looked at in my books, and particularly in great detail in this next one, is that the evidence for not just one major cataclysm on this Earth, but a number in the window of 13,000 years ago and much more recently, the evidence is phenomenal, not just in the geological and biological record, but also in the endless records and accounts and oral traditions all over the world in all the different cultures. And I think that one of the key areas, the key times for the intervention that created these particular, what I will call, royal bloodlines, mm-hmm. because interestingly, the Sumerian texts talk about the fact that the Anunnaki created what they called Anuship, kingship. In other words, almost a middleman group of bloodlines that were the middle controllers between the extraterrestrials and the mass of the human race.
All right, then may we think of ourselves as an ant colony? In other words, there are worker ants, there are various levels of ants to the queen, and isn't that kind of what you're saying was done to the human race? They created a genetic strain of workers, which Sitchin believes.
Mm-hmm.
He believes, I think, to mine gold.
Yeah, I have many questions about that area, I must say. But I take your point, and it's not a bad summary. What I feel is, however, is this, and this is the positive side that we've really got to get our heads around across this millennium. The human race is not ordinary, and it's not powerless. But if you are a relative handful of people, and you want to control a mass of the people,
yes,
you cannot do it physically. This manipulation is not physical. There's not enough people. If you try to control a herd of sheep physically, you need four or five guys, maybe more, chasing each sheep.
You bet.
But it's not done like that with a herd or a flock of sheep. Most of them follow the one in front without question. And the others, the stragglers that don't immediately conform to that bar-bar mentality, they are given the dose of the four-letter word that controls this world, fear, through the sheepdog, and then most of them, if not all of them, come into line. So what we're looking at is a mental and emotional manipulation that has bombarded, and the creation of religions, the major religions and others, has been fundamental in this. And again, look where all the major religions came out of. This same area of the world, Christianity, Judaism, Hinduism, out of the Caucasus Mountains, I talked about earlier, Islam, all these major religions came from this same area of the world that this initial operation appears to have taken place in. And what I feel is that the key intervention was after the last cataclysm. It's interesting that when you look at the evidence of where agriculture started in the known world, it was at heights above 10,000 feet, which absolutely fits with the fact that there was some kind of massive flood or flow of water. In those mountains that I'm talking about, that area of the Middle and particularly the Near East, that mountainous area, the Caucasus, what we call Turkey, Iran, all that area,
yes,
that's, for me, the evidence that I put in some considerable detail in this next book, where this key intervention took place that created these particular bloodlines. When the waters then started to recede down from these mountains into the valleys of and the plains of Sumer, Babylon, Egypt, came these people. Now, there were two levels of knowledge. There was the advanced knowledge, which the extraterrestrials and their hybrids had access to, and there was the rest of the people. And what happened, it seems, when you talk to many researchers into this area, is that the mystery schools were set up, some of them very positive, to pass on some advanced information to people they considered were worthy and would use it positively. But as this years passed, this mystery school network was infiltrated, and indeed a negative mirror of it was created. And therefore, instead of passing on this advanced information, which was clearly available, I mean, look at the pyramids. Look at some of the great structures of the ancient world. The one at Baalbek in the Lebanon, which involved moving three chunks of stone, each of which were 800 tons, at least a third of a mile, and putting them high up in a wall. I mean, you know, our primitive people are going to do that. So we only got to look at what the ancient world has left us around the planet to see that there was very advanced knowledge there. You look at the way that the ancient structures and the stone circles are phenomenally connected to star systems, to natural cycles, to the precession of the equinoxes. There was advanced knowledge in the ancient world. What happened is that this was sucked in as the years passed into this mystery school and later secret society network, and was passed on at the highest level only to those
David,
that would were given or were chosen to have it.
David, was this a physical science or a mental science?
I think it was absolutely both. You know, some of the information that's now coming to light in shows like yours and others, where we're seeing the true nature of what is possible beyond what we call science, which is actually not science at all, most of it. It's not about open-minded research. It's about defending a belief system and a dogma. And this stuff that's now emerging actually is re-emerging into the public domain at this tremendous time of transformation that's happening now and is going to advance very much across the millennium and into the first 10 years or so of the next century.
Are you aware of an organization called the PsyCop?
Yeah.
The Skeptical Inquirer?
Well, I've actually talked about them. It's quite interesting in this next book, The Biggest Secret.
Oh, have you really?
Yes, it is amazing how they cross-reference a number of their personnel with mind control operations. If anyone wants to read about that, then it'll be
in
available,
your
and the names will be named in the new year.
No kidding.
It's very interesting how you've got an organization which is suppressing and trying to get people not to look at information and dismiss it, are also involved in some other areas say the least, are extremely questionable.
Well,
and I reveal some of the background to this organization in my next book, and people ought to know that before they go the way of dismissing information just because it's being ridiculed by these people.
This coming Friday, they're giving me in Los Angeles this special honor they call the Snuffed Candle Award.
Uh-huh.
They say they're giving it to Art Bell, the less than prestigious award, the Snuffed Candle Award, for encouraging credulity, presenting pseudoscience as genuine, and contributing to the public's lack of understanding of the methods of scientific inquiry.
Right. Well, I tell you what, I wouldn't buy a used car or a new one off any of them. And people will see why when they read the next book. I think if anyone who gets an honor from this group of that kind should actually take it as an honor, because there are some people, when they're on your side, you know you're on the wrong one. And PsyCops is certainly one of them.
No, I'm accepting it in that spirit.
Yeah, and I don't blame you. So the pressure, and this is a good example. If you are going to control vast numbers of people, mm-hmm. you have to de-link them from knowledge that you're doing it, and you have to de-link them from an understanding of their true power. You have to persuade them that they are ordinary, that they are powerless, they are pawns in a game, because then they won't realize that if they just realized who they are, there would be no game. One of the techniques, there are many techniques that you can pick up if you follow these bloodlines across the century right into the modern world, of how people are mass manipulated by techniques that just go on being repeated and repeated and repeated. And we can see them happening daily now as we enter this crucial period across the millennium when lots of cards are going to be played.
Give me some examples of control, for example, through the modern media.
Well, let me outline the most powerful, the most used, and the most effective. And I think this actually will apply very much to some of the UFO stuff that's going on.
Sure.
It's a technique that I've called in my books problem reaction, solution. You start with something you want to introduce. Say you want to give more power to the police, you want to have more power to stop and search, more power to tap phones, or you want politicians to have more power to bring in a certain policy.
Sure.
You know that if you introduce that policy honestly and say, right, we're going to do this, there would be a mass reaction because people would say, excuse me, over here, that's a fascist state you're trying to introduce here. We're not having this.
Yeah, what about our Bill of Rights?
So what you do is you create a problem. It could be a terrorist bomb. It could, like Oklahoma, it could be a run on a currency, a government collapse, Y2K, whatever. And you create a problem. People then react to that problem, and you encourage them through the media to say, this can't go on. Something must be done. What are they going to do about it?
Mm.
And at that point, they, who have covertly created the problem but got someone else to be blamed for it, glean that reaction, do something, then openly offer the solutions to the problems they have themselves created. Problem, reaction, solution. So if you want more power to the police, more stop and search, more draconian laws, then what? And you want people not just not to oppose it, but to demand you do it, then you let society break down so there is more crime.
Sure, you don't even have to actually suggest it. You just create the situation and the public comes to you demanding that you change it.
Exactly. And if we just apply this to the UFO situation. Now, as we've discussed already, I have absolutely no problem with an extraterrestrial aspect to all this. Certainly not. But what I would say is the, quote, aliens aren't coming. They've been here for thousands of years working through these bloodlines and through other means. And when you look at the way that the human consciousness is being prepared, you first of all look through Hollywood. Hollywood's one of the great homes of mind conditioning. Wherever I go in the world, the Hollywood films are playing, the Hollywood videos are available.
Oh, yes.
All over the world. And then you look at things, the patterns that are emerging. You look at Independence Day, made by 20th Century Fox, owned by Rupert Murdoch, who is owned by this brotherhood. You look at Alien Resurrection, made by 20th Century Fox, owned by Rupert Murdoch, who is owned by this brotherhood. You look at X-Files, which is made by Fox Television, which is owned by Rupert Murdoch, who is owned by this brotherhood. And if you're looking at problem, reaction, solution in regard to this extraterrestrial situation, then look back at the report from Iron Mountain, which was produced between 63 and 66, a report with 15 experts in various fields asked to produce ways of centralizing power and controlling the population without further recourse to global wars.
All right, David, hold it there. We're at the top of the hour. When we get back, I'm going to ask you about me because I've got the largest program on radio dealing with this kind of thing. And I wonder if I'm part of it. there's been plenty of accusation about that, and at times I've wondered, could I be a pawn? This is Coast to Coast AM. David Icke is here. We'll be right back.